Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 7. Come in, text 48. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sadyan yam yatayo yamakarta hetim. Jayu sarad ivanapana kanitram indra. That's it. Translation. In such a transcendental state, there is no need of artificial control of the mind, mental speculation, or meditation, as performed by the jnanis and yogis. One gives up such processes as heavenly king Indra forgoes the trouble to dig a well. Purport, a poor man in want of water digs a well and undertakes the trouble of digging. Similarly, those who are poor in transcendental realization speculate on the mind or meditate by controlling the senses. But they do not know that such control of the senses and achievement of spiritual perfection are simultaneously made possible as soon as one is factually engaged in transcendental loving service of the Supreme Person, the Personality of Godhead. It is for this reason that the great liberated souls also desire to be associated in hearing and chanting the activities of the Lord. The example of Indra is very appropriate in this connection. King Indra of heaven is the controlling deity or demigod for arranging clouds and supplying rains in the universe. And as such, he does not have to take the trouble to dig a well for his personal water supply. For him, digging a well for water is simply ludicrous. Similarly, those who are factually engaged in the loving service of the Lord have attained the ultimate goal of life, and for them there is no need of mental speculation to find out the true nature of God or his activity. Nor do such devotees have to meditate upon the imaginary or real identity of the Lord, because they are factually engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. The pure devotee have already achieved the result of mental speculations and meditation. The real perfection of life, therefore, is to be engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Om Ajnanitamirandasya Ganandana Shalakaya Chakshurin Malitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Pancha Kalpa Tarubhyashta Kripa Sindhu Vaye Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasade Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama. So we've just finished the section about the process of understanding the Supreme Lord. It's not a process of mental speculation. To understand the Supreme Lord fully, it has to be by his mercy. Basically, in the Chaturshloki Bhagavad Gita, the four nutshell verses, one of the key verses, because this is the basic philosophy of Krishna consciousness, one of the key verses, which I would say maybe also a sutra for what we've been studying, is Hesham Satyata Yuktanam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam Vidami Buddhi Yogam Tvam Yena Mamukhi. For one who worships me with faith and Bhajatam Priti Purvakam, Bhajatam Priti, who worships me with some love and devotion, then the Dhammi Buddhi, I give. Because our process of self-realization is simply based on the fact that we have a relationship with Krishna. And therefore, by serving him, because he is a person and a perfect person, he reciprocates in the relationship. That's our process of self-realization. So our process is getting something by becoming qualified, not getting it ourselves. We become qualified simply by serving in devotional service. That's why in the Bhagavad Gita, the 9th chapter, 18 chapters of Bhagavad Gita, the middle is the most important. In the 9th chapter at the end, which is the real gem, is called the most confidential knowledge. And what is the most confidential knowledge? That Krishna is not equal to everyone. He favors his devotee. That's not a defect. It's a sign of the fact of him being a person. The defect would be is if he treated everyone equally. That would be impersonal. You give your life to him, you surrender to him, and it's like, you know, equal. Samaham sarvabhuteshu, maybe, you know, I'm equal to everyone. Just imagine if a mother had a child. Would it be a great attribute of the mother is that she treated everyone equally, including her child who is so dependent on her? So this is our philosophy, by that dependence on Krishna and just engaging in our relationship with Krishna's servants. By serving him, then he responds with transcendental knowledge. So although Lord Brahma was asked about the process of creation from Narada Muni, and he explained it somewhat, he gives all credit to the Supreme Lord. And he begins to offer respectful obeisances to the Supreme Lord by chanting his glories, by listing the various avatars. To get that reciprocation by performing devotional service. At the same time, as I mentioned yesterday, that's part of the process of creation. The part of the process of creation is that God comes into the creation to fulfill the purpose of the creation, which is to rectify the consciousness of the conditioned soul. So it's also, I thought yesterday, it's also part of the process of creation. And without that, the creation has no value. Creation means, God created the world. It means there's a purpose, and that's the purpose, that we become fully Krishna conscious. So without God coming into the world to give us subject matter to hear about him, then the world doesn't have really much purpose. So it's also a part of the process of creation. But what it really is illustrating is, in these last verses that we read yesterday, is that you can't know him unless you surrender. And if you surrender, you can know him. But not fully, because his energies are inconceivable and ever expanding. You can know something about him. And therefore that verse, after who can describe the prowess of Vishnu? Even the scientist who might have counted the particles of the atoms on the universe cannot do so. Neither I nor the sages born before you can fully know the omnipotent person. So what can others who are born after? Even Sesha, the first incarnation, he can't understand God, and he's chanting his glories. He's chanting his glories in an with 1,000 faces. So what can he know? But those who are surrendered, they can atitaranti dustaram devamaya. They can overcome the insurmountable energy of the Supreme Lord. They can overcome maya. Maya means illusion or ignorance. And when you remove illusion or ignorance, then you have knowledge. So they can have knowledge. They can know. And so many personalities who had surrender were listed. I call it a spiritual all-star team. Prahlad Maharaj, Swayambhuva Manu, Devahuti, Priyadvata, Janaka, Ambarish, Bhishma, Vali. So many. Hanuman, Sukadev, Vidura. Oh, Vidura, what a personality Vidura was. And when Vidura came back to the palace after being on pilgrimage for 39 years, it was so many years on pilgrimage, when he came back, it was described that Yudhisthira and the Pandavas were like a body with no soul. And when Yudhisthira came, when Vidura came back, it was like their soul re-entering their body. And then another nice point that was made is they worshipped him as, it said, like a god-man. I forgot the word was used. But they worshipped him. But Prabhupada in the purport makes the point, he wasn't coming there for the worship. He already left that. He was 39 years on pilgrimage. They may have worshipped him, but he was there for one reason. And that was out of compassion to his brother Dhritarashtra. So that was, so we discussed that and how surrendered souls can understand them, even from lower class. And then in the previous verse, that realization that you get from surrender was described, or the characteristics of the Supreme Lord. And we studied that he's opposite conception of material existence, pratibodha matra. But also he is the parasya brahma, the supreme absolute truth. And there's ajastra sukham, there's unlimited happiness. Because happiness comes from the affection one feels in a relationship. And the fullness of affection becomes manifested in relationship to God, because that's the reality, Prabhupada said, of an affectionate relationship. So that happiness, and it's vishokam, it's without grief, because it never ends. It's unlimited. And it's shudham. It's pure because it's a sarasat param. It's before this cause and effect of the material world. It's before the God's senses, God's personality is before this material world. Therefore, that relationship you have with him, with your senses, is not temporary. It's on another dimension, above the dimension of cause and effect, which our material relationships are on in this material world. So it was described in so many ways. So that was described. So in such a transcendental state, there's no need for the control of the mind, the mystics, all these, the processes of spiritual culture, that jayu, they're given up. What is the need? And the example that was, it's really, you can see the Bhagavatam. Indra supplies the rains. Can you imagine him digging a well? What? Nipana, Kanti, trouble for Indra. It's as ludicrous as Indra, the controlling demigod supplying the rains. Kanitram, trouble for digging Nipana a well. Because he's got all the water. What does he need a well? The devotee's got all the other aspects, the control of the senses. Everything is there. In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, even at the platform of sadhana bhakti, your life becomes auspicious, which means all other happinesses are included. If you become steady at the platform of sadhana bhakti, all other and what to speak if you get the prema bhakti. Then it's called sandrandana visheshatma. That the happiness is so thick, the affection is so thick, that there's nothing else in the consciousness. Not even a conception sometimes of who you are. That's described in Ramananda's Samvad. That it keeps on getting higher and higher, and then you kind of get lost, but you kind of like it because it's really, and then it describes one verse, like it's just, and basically described, it's also explained by Bhishma Dev, that in that type of love, you're so focused on the object of your love that you don't even think of what your identity is. It's so intense in the consciousness. So that type of happiness, that type of concentrated, it's incalculably greater than any type of material pleasure. Rupa Goswami described. He uses a Sanskrit word, which was also used in the Bhagavatam to describe how far the Milky Way was. And I had that word looked up. Prabhupada quotes, he says, trillions and trillions. But the word also means the highest calculable number, basically unlimited. That's how much greater the happiness of Prem Bhakti is to ordinary happiness. So everything else is included. So the perfection is already there. So you get this. And because the previous verse also said is there's unlimited phase. There's the first thing was ajasya sukham, this unlimited happiness. So what is your need to turn to anything else? Now another kind of interesting verse here. The personality of Godhead is the supreme master of everything auspicious, because the results of whatever actions are performed by the living being in either the material or spiritual existence are awarded by the Lord. As such, he is the ultimate benefactor. Every living entity is unborn, and therefore, even after the annihilation of the material elementary body, the living entity exists exactly like the air within the body. So this verse, he's actually summing up his whole, you'll see the next verse is just a summary that I've explained to you the process of creation. So it seems that this verse is put in by Lord Brahma to clear up a misconception that could come in terms of Mayavadi philosophy. Because if at the liberated state, that Deva Maya that's been described, when you surrender, if that's gone, if that's the condition of living entity, there's a Deva Maya, and that's gone, does that mean, does that mean that the spirit individuality also exists? In other words, when the illusion goes, then does the identity also go? Because he just explained about this Deva Maya, Atitaram, Dustaram, Deva Maya. It's surmounted. So here the answer is given. That the personality is a supreme master of everything auspicious, because whatever the results of whatever actions are performed are rewarded by the Lord. First of all, the Supreme Lord is described here as Vibhu. It's Vibhu Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of God. He's the master, and as such, he's the ultimate benefactor. Every living entity is unborn. And therefore, after the annihilation of material, the living entity still exists. Because the Lord is the benefactor, and he's going to give after. And that he's unborn means that his existence, Prabhupada explains this, that he's unborn means that his existence did not start with the body. The individuality of the soul did not start with the body. And therefore, when the illusion is gone, the body is gone, it doesn't mean that his existence is gone. And Prabhupada I had to try to figure this out, explains it in the purport very clearly. How, first of all, yayata mampapadyante, that the Supreme Lord is rewarding everyone. But for the devotee, what does he reward? He doesn't reward merging, but they become associates of the Lord. That's their benediction. Not merging. They exist after the annihilation of the material body, but they exist in association with the Lord. The devotees, therefore, following their constitutional instincts, achieve the desired goal of becoming servitors, friends, fathers, mothers, or conjugal lovers of the Lord. The devotional service of the Lord involves 9 transcendental processes, such as hearing and chanting. And by performing such easy and natural devotional services, the devotees achieve the highest perfectional result, far, far superior. And therefore, Prabhupada says, one should not therefore mistakenly think that after annihilation of the present body, there is no body by which one can associate with the Lord face to face. The living entity is unborn. It is not that he is manifest with the creation of the material body. On the other hand, it is true that the material body develops only by the desires of the entity. And then Prabhupada just quotes another verse, Shuchinam Srimatam Gehe. Yoga brush the vajrayate. If you don't complete in this life, you get another life. It's the same individual living entity that's continuing beyond the body. Now, in conclusion, my dear son, I have now explained in brief the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the creator of the manifested worlds. Without him, Hari, the Lord, there are no other causes of the phenomenal and noumenal existences. So just listen to this again as a complete perfect summary. He says, Tata, my dear son, Narada, this is your father, Lord Brahma, speaking. I am the same. I have explained it unto you that of the Vishva Bhavana, the creation of the manifested world, Hare, without Hare, na anyat, there's nothing else, anyasmat being the cause. There's nothing else being the cause of sat asat, the manifest, unmanifest world. There's nothing else. Prabhupada in the purport quotes Bhagavad Gita 9:4. These are the verses which explain Krishna's achintya-bheda-bheda relationship with the material world. I think that mayata tamidam sarvam jagada vyaktam. It's Krishna. He's manifesting everything but remains aloof. This is the position of Krishna. And Prabhupada also says, and we shouldn't deprecate him, because although he's creating everything, we should not blame him. This is also mentioned in those same verses in the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that the perfection of God is that he's everywhere without fault. If you're everywhere, then you can have the defect of impersonality. So he says, mayata tamidam sarvam, I'm everywhere, but without the defect of impersonality, because I remain aloof. Then the other thing is that I'm everywhere, but if you're everywhere, you're responsible for everything. He says, udasina vata. I am seated as neutral. And the example is given like a judge. The judge says, you die, you get rewarded. But he's not responsible. And then the final verse in that section is Mayadya Pshena Prakriti Suyate. So even though I'm kind of seated as neutral, don't think I'm the controller. I'm still Mayadya Pshena. With my eyes, I'm supervising Mayadya Pshena Prakriti Suyate everything. I'm the cause of everything. So this is it. Without Hari, my son, you asked me who is God at the very beginning. Narada Muni asked, who is God? Are you God? Who is God? Who is sustaining the world? And this is the answer. Without him, Hari, the Lord, there are no other causes of the phenomenal and noumenal existences. No, without him, there's nothing else. Na anyat. Now, there'll be three verses to finish this chapter. And what happens now is that Lord Brahma, it's so interesting how it's all connected. Because what's going to happen is Lord Brahma is now going to request Narada Muni to continue the disciplic succession. So we get into the disciplic succession. Because basically, what he's explained is the Bhagavatam. Because the Bhagavatam means Krishna and Krishna's energy. Because the Bhagavatam is based on Vyasadeva's vision. What is that verse that has Vyasadeva's vision? Bhakti yogena manasi samyak pranyate male apasyat purusham purnam maya chitad apasyam. Bhakti yogena manasi, by the process of devotional service, samyak pranayate malay. He completely focused his mind, samyak pranayate malay, without any distraction. Malay means like dirt. He fixed his mind without, this is a whole process of Krishna, how Vyasadeva realized the absolute truth. In devotional service, he fixed his mind without any distraction. That's the abhideya tattva of Krishna consciousness. That's our process. And what did he see? Apasyat purusham purnam. He saw apasyat purusham purnam, purusha purnam. He saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead, maya chittad apasrayam. And he saw maya, or Krishna's energy, subjugated by Krishna. And one of the commentators say that This also means the internal energy, just like the sunlight is there with the moon. The moonlight is there with the moon. So so that's the Bhagavatam. Krishna's relationship with his energies, the external energy and the internal energy. And as Prabhupada's going to point out in the purport, as we are doing, it's important to hear about both, to fix up our consciousness in a very systematic way from the very beginning. So just as he's began to explain the Bhagavatam in a very systematic way, he requests Narada Muni to do the same. Idam Bhagavatam Nama Yanne Bhagavato Ditam Sangraho Yam Vibhutinam Swameta Dipali Kuru. O Narada, the science of God, Srimad Bhagavatam, was spoken to me in summary by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and it was spoken as the accumulation of his diverse potencies, of his shaktis. Please explain this science to yourself. The 10th canto is Krishna's exchanges with his internal potencies. So the Bhagavatam was spoken, the Chatur Shloki Bhagavatam was spoken. It'll be mentioned in the 9th chapter. We should do that in the next 2 weeks. The 4 verses that were spoken at the beginning of creation in summary. And it was spoken to Krishna in relationship with his potencies. So please expand this science by yourself. And then Prabhupada's pointing out, this verse just illustrates what the disciplic succession is, because it started with Krishna. And then it came to Brahma. Then it came to Narada. And now he's asking Narada. So it's coming in direct disciplic succession, as Prabhupada said, from Brahmaji to Narada, from Narada to Vyas, from Vyas to Sukadeva, from Sukadeva to Suta Goswami, from Suta Goswami to sages. And it's presented very, very carefully. Because it's sweetest knowledge. It's described in the first canto, and Vyasadeva explains the Bhagavatam as Nigama Kalpa Taro. It's like a desire tree. Because you can fulfill anything you want, you can get. But no, the Vedas are a desire tree. Nigama Kalpatura. Galitam Palam. But the Srimad Bhagavatam is the ripened fruit of the desire tree of the Vedic knowledge. But not only is it the ripened fruit, Sukha Mukad Amrita, but it's spoken from the lips of Sukadeva Goswami. So the interesting thing about speaking, or a self-realized soul speaking, is that whatever he speaks, his own convictions are also added. So there's also a flavor in the same thing that's spoken. And that's why Narada and Vyas were sitting so happily hearing Sukadeva Goswami speak. He spoke the same thing, but his own conviction was added. And it's described just like a parrot, when he bites the mango, it makes it more sweet. I suppose what happens is he just takes his beak and cracks the skin, and then it ripens. So when it's really ripened and sweet, then you can't hire one of these guys for 5 rupees, go up on the top of the tree and, you know, throw them down or shake the branch. They have to be handed very carefully. Just that knowledge is so relishable, it's got to be presented carefully, otherwise it'll be destroyed. So it's Sukha Mukad Amrita Dravya. Dravya means semi-soft, solid, and easily swallowable. So he made it so relishable, the Bhagavatam. He made it pre-digested. It's so relishable, but Samyutta, it's completely perfect. In other words, he made it accessible, but at the same time, by making it accessible, it still remained perfect. Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni. It was written by Vyas, the author, in the maturity of his realization. Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni Krite Kimvai Para Ishvaraha. So what is their need for any other scripture? And one who hears this message, I forgot the rest, what is it? Ishvara, avarudyate, prakritibi, sushushibi, takshana. One who hears this message, the Supreme Personality of God, at Prabhupada writes, becomes compact within the heart. Compact within the heart to me means prema. There's nothing else but Krishna within the heart. Takshana, without delay. You don't have to do, what is that verse? Satkarma nipano vipro, mantra tantra visharada. You don't have to do all the snapping of the fingers and the water and the mudras. Satkarma nipano vipra, mantra tantra visharada. A Vaishnava guru nasyat, Vaishnava svapata. So, therefore Prabhupada, of course, he makes it so clear what not to do also. And that is, don't hear from a professional man. He's not in the disciplic succession. It'll be entertaining, but it won't have the same effect. Please describe yata haro bhagavati nirnam bhaktir pavishyati sarvatman yakiladhare iti sankalpya varnana. Please describe the science of Godhead with determination and in a manner by which it will be quite possible for the human being to develop transcendental devotional service unto the Supreme Godhead Hari, the super soul of every living being and the summum bonum, source of all energy. So please describe with determination, but in a manner nirnam, for human beings, so that bhakti pavishyate, so they can become enlightened about devotional service of sarva atmani, the absolute whole, akila adare, the sumam bonum. So sankalpya varnaya, with determination, with vow, very carefully describe this knowledge. And therefore, it's got to be described very, very, very carefully. And that's what Prabhupada was stressing. So that it is, I'm experiencing this now myself, that how powerful it is to start from the beginning. Prabhupada said word for word, synonym. And it's not taking, I'm going very, very quickly now. If I started this when I was young, I've already been through this 3 times. So I'm confident, I'm moving quickly, but I can see, the foundation of realizations that come by studying the Bhagavatam in a very systematic way. And I'm going to get to the 10th canto. But with this foundation, it'll be very... Prior to Kali Yuga, Prabhupada, there's no need for the Book of Knowledge to know the Lord and His energies. But with the beginning of Kali Yuga, human life became so degraded. And because it became so degraded, it's explained the science of God very, very systematically. Very, very systematically. And scientifically, so that any sincere student of the great science will be able to understand the science of God completely by reading it with attention or simply by regularly hearing it from a bona fide speaker. Everyone is hankering after happiness in life, but in this age, the members of human society, blind as they are, do not have the proper vision that the personality of God is the reservoir of happiness, because he is the ultimate source. Jadmadyasyayaha. Jadmadyasyayataha. Even those who are after the enjoyment of this world can also take shelter of the Bhagavatam, and they will be successful at the end. Narada is therefore requested or ordered by the spiritual master to present this science with determination and a good plan. He was never advised to preach the principles of Bhagavatam to earn a livelihood. He was ordered by his spiritual master to take up the matter in a missionary spirit, seriously. Mayam vaniyato mushya ishvarasya numodita shinvata shradaya nityam mayayatma namuyate. So he said, if you describe the Lord's energy and his relationships also with the phenomenal world, and you explain it nityam regularly, shradaya, with devotion, Then Atma, the living entity, Namuyate, Maya. He'll never be illusioned by Maya. So you please explain this. On the other hand, those who are not completely free from the clutches of the Lord external energy should devoutly hear regularly about the activities of the Lord in relationship with the external energy. They should not foolishly jump up to the activities of the internal energy. The chief reciters of the Bhagavatam are very much enthusiastic about the Lord's internal activities, and the Sutta devotees absorb material enjoyment, falsely jump up to the stage of liberated souls, and thus fall down deeply into the clutches of external energy. Because the Lord's activities of the Rasa-lila are called kama-rup. Kama-rup means the form of lust. But it has nothing to do with lust. It's all love. The consciousness in the spiritual world is how by my activities, how by my embraces, how by my, can Krishna be pleased? So unless one has become purified and himself has some sense of that devotion, then when he sees these activities, he will not see what's really there. What's really there is intense love. But the form will inspire in him, what he'll be seeing is lust. Because he doesn't have experience of that love, so he won't see it. And he'll see it as something erotic. Because his experience of that form is only sense gratification. So by reading and hearing about it, he'll be thinking about sense gratification. Whereas one who's become qualified, then when he sees those activities and hears those activities, it's the most intense activity of love and devotion. So it'll be very much inspired in his heart. And the reason it's called kama rup, because kama or lust is the most intense emotion. So that type of love is the most intense emotion, that love for Krishna of the gopis. How Krishna can be pleased. There's nothing else in their consciousness. It's so intense. So that intensity, the form, is like the form, at least to our vision, the form will be like boys and girls in this world. It's not explained in the proper way, and one is not qualified, then he will see it in a material way. Because he won't see what's really there. What's really there is the love and the devotion. Some of them think that to hear about the pastime of the Lord's mean to hear about his activities with the gopis, or about his pastimes like lifting Govind Hill, but they have nothing to do with the Lord's expansions as the Purusha avatars and their expansions of creation, annihilation, material world. But a pure devotee knows there's no difference between the pastimes of the Lord, either in Rasa-lila or in creation, maintenance, or destruction of the material world. To some extent, I'm experiencing that here. For relishing the Bhagavatam right from the beginning. Because when we see the creation, what we're thinking of is Krishna is creating the world and how wonderful it is. We're seeing his, and we're seeing even from the beginning, how the devotion and love of the devotees is manifest. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, the science of God said, Lord Chaitanya never indulged in hearing Rasa-lila with ordinary men. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, the science of God, the first nine cantos, prepares the ground for hearing the tenth canto. This will be further explained in the later chapter of this canto. A pure devotee of the Lord, therefore, must begin reading or hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam from the very beginning and not from the tenth canto. The Prabhupada said, by reading and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam as a scientific presentation, the conditioned souls will gradually be promoted to the higher status of transcendental knowledge after being freed from the illusory energy based on sense enjoyment. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the second canto, seventh chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled Schedule and Specific Incarnations. What's going to continue now is very, very wonderful too, because Parikit, he wants to know now, what did Narada say? Because he said that Narada is going to explain the Bhagavatam. And great devotees are just interested in when other great devotees speak. So this caught him. What did he speak about? What did he say? He wanted to know. And then he explained to him that he wanted to hear more about this, the Marge Cricket said, about the narrations of the Lord who possess wonderful potencies. He wanted to hear about them. And then he comes into a set of verses, which is very beautiful. He said, "O greatly fortunate Supadev, please continue narrating Srimad Bhagavatam so that I can place my mind upon the Supreme Soul, Lord Krishna, and being completely freed from material qualities, thus relinquish this body." Persons who hear Srimad Bhagavatam regularly and are always taking the matter very seriously will have the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna manifest in their hearts within a short time. I'm experiencing this much, but it's more than before. That by this thing, you know, this process of hearing the Bhagavatam, it really affects your chanting, your deity worship. It has such a strong impression in the heart by hearing systematically. The sound incarnation of the Lord enters into the heart of a self-realized devotee, sits on the lotus flower of his loving relationship, and thus cleanses the dust of material association, such as lust, anger, and hankering. Thus it acts like the autumnal rains upon pools of muddy water. This is what a pure devotee of the Lord, whose heart has once been cleansed by the process of devotional service, never relinquishes the lotus feet of Krishna, for they fully satisfy him, as a traveler satisfied at home after a troubled journey. And Prabhupada also speaks in the purport too that people used to go on treasure hunts, so they would practically kill themselves. And when they're coming back, when there's just a, you know, like they see the horizon, they're very tired and exhausted, but seeing the goal automatically pacifies them. It's like someone running a marathon. Even though he's suffering physically, if he's winning in the last lap, it's great pleasure. There's no pain because he's looking at the goal. So the same thing here. So we'll continue, and then Marge Cricket again will ask many, many questions. And then I told you very interesting, and Sukadeva Goswami will answer them. But he just answers this one question, what's the Lord's form and transcendence, by explaining the story of how Lord Brahma met Krishna and saw Krishna in transcendence, which then the Bhagavatam was spoken. And then there's a whole shift, and everything becomes based on those four verses. And he says, now explain all the questions you ask based on those four verses. Marge Cricket. I think he says something, Sukadeva, I will explain now. Based on those four verses, I'll explain all your other verses. And then he expands the four verses into 10 subjects. And this is the thing that amazed me most. The next question was on the universal form. So he explained it in relationship to those 10 subject matters. Because the universal form is the 10th subject matter is a Shraya. That Krishna is the ultimate shelter. So he explains the universal form in terms of a Shraya, how everything existing in this material world is first manifest in the Virat Purush. But then after he explains that, and he says, now I'll explain your next question about time. Because when he explained the universal form, the conclusion was, is beyond the universal form is Krishna. Once you hear about Krishna. So he says, now I'll explain your next question. And the next question was, about time. And then I explained that Shonagrishi stood up and said, you just said behind the universal form is Krishna. So, why don't you go back and tell us what really Vidura did on his pilgrimage? Let's get back to that other story you told. You remember that story about Vidura? He came back home, but what happened on the pilgrimage? And then, it's really wonderful, and we'll get to that section, because Vidura meets Uddhava. And this, you know, and then they start discussing the Vrindavan pastimes. And then it goes back into creation. Okay, we'll end. Srila Prabhupada.